So often people fear fire, which is an understandable thing, but actually on the Midwest prairies, fire can be a good thing. Cindy Schroeder comments, to ask whether a prairie needs fire is to wonder whether a prairie needs water. Burns stimulate the growth of grasses and forbs, return nutrients to the soil, expose seed beds to the sun, and suppress invading trees and shrubs. Who'd have thought, huh? During the 1960s, as people in the prairie restoration movement saw the benefits of a regular prairie fire, the practice of intentionally setting such fires became widespread. Schroeder describes one such fire. Pushed forward by the wind, the flames raced across the prairie. Thick dead grass stalks wavered for just a moment before buckling and falling into the flames. So it's an interesting thought, isn't it, that a fire can actually bring new life. And you'll see that in the forest as well. It might take a little bit longer than a prairie, but after there's been a fire there, after a period of time, there's new life that bursts forth, and it's like a new beginning. It really is truly a marvelous thing to see. One of the things I'd like to reflect with you on today is the reality that fire in our own lives can actually bring a new beginning. It's not always pleasant to go through that sense of things being burned in your life, a sense of destruction, a sense of things being consumed that you didn't expect were going to be taken from you. But that fire in our own lives can actually bring about a whole new beginning and a new life that we actually need. You know, during this season of Pentecost, we wear green, and we have green around the altar. And the reason for that is it symbolizes growth, new growth. And actually, it's the color we wear the most during the liturgical year. And it's interesting that in that is a reminder to us about the growth that we're called to in the Christian life. You'll remember on Pentecost, I reflected with you on the fire of the Holy Spirit. And again, the whole idea of the fire in the shape of tongues over the apostles' heads and all of those gathered there was a symbol of them speaking in tongues a little bit later in the languages of all of the people gathered there, bearing witness to the gospel. And later that during that day, 3,000 people came to Jesus as Peter proclaimed the gospel. So the other thing that fire represents is the idea of power. In our lives. So as the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and the Holy Spirit comes upon you and me, there is a spiritual power that you and I have that we didn't have before that. And so that's another thing that fire symbolizes. And then finally, it gets back to my opening story. The fire, the presence of the Holy Spirit, also symbolizes this idea of cleansing, of making pure. And purifying fire can have its way in our life in a lot of different ways. One is the conviction of sin. You know, God has given you and me a conscience for a reason. And our conscience is a gift of God that allows us to know, you really shouldn't be doing that. You know, you read the scripture, you pray, you come here and worship. And also in Romans 1, it talks about all of humanity having basically a consciousness of what is evil and what is good. God has given every human being that. And so our conscience is that part of us that is connected to our will, that has an awareness of what good and evil is, and also is part of us making a choice. And so the conviction of sin is that place in our conscience where God lets us know in no uncertain terms, hey, you know what? You're blowing it right now. Stop doing that. And so our conscience is a very important part of our lives that we need to listen to, especially when we don't want to. That's actually a sign. Remember this. You may not want to remember this, but I'm going to tell you anyways. Whenever that voice tells you don't do that, and you're right at the edge of, am I going to do this or am I not going to do this? If you haven't been listening to that voice that says to you, don't do that, You just might want to hesitate for a moment and just say, Lord, will you help me listen to my conscience? Will you help me listen to the fire and the presence of your Holy Spirit? And you'll be amazed what God can do in that moment. A lot of times, especially with the sins in our life that we're so used to, what happens is as soon as that thought or or desire comes into our heart, we just go ahead and do it. Don't even think twice about it, because it's a pattern. And so the way that you break the pattern is, of course, by the grace of God. But just hesitate for a moment. Just hesitate for a moment and say, Lord, will you give me the grace to say no? So pray for me as I pray for you that we'd be able to do that. It's a big step. Another way that conviction of sin comes is through the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can make you aware that you really shouldn't be going maybe in a certain direction or maybe leading you in a new direction. One of the ways in which we can grow in an understanding of what pleases God is by reading the Scripture, by praying, and by, again, coming here to worship the Lord and developing that spiritual sense of self. And as we do that, we have a greater sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Also be aware that there's some things that you'll be able to do that, aren't against the book and are fine for you to do. And there'll be things that other people have a deeper conviction about that it's just not for them to do. The Lord has convicted them. You know what? You're not supposed to do that. It's not your life. It's not a part of what you're to do. And so everybody's different in this, and we have to give each other the grace to be who we are in the Lord. Another way in which the Lord convicts us of sin is through people. Could be your husband or wife. Could be somebody calling you out of the blue and just saying something, some word, some phrase that gets you in that moment and says, oh man, you're reaching out to me through my cell phone from this friend that's 1,000 miles away. God will do it. God does it to me all the time. Hey, if you want to have a certainty about what's going on here, let me have your friend call you from here and talk to you about what I've been speaking to your heart about. God does that all the time. So God can convict you of sin through people. And again, a way you test this out is, how do you react to somebody who says something to you that you don't like hearing? I get it all the time. I mean, it's just part of it goes with the caller. At first, I didn't like it. I tried to please people, but I'm over that now. Because part of what I do is not about pleasing people. It's about loving people enough to tell them the truths about themselves. Because that's what God does with me. God loves me enough to tell me the truth about myself. And so again, how do you react to people who tell you something that you don't want to hear? Again, I would invite you just to take a step back for a moment. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. And just say, God, are you speaking to me through this person? And what are you trying to tell me? Even though I don't want to hear it. Very important. God can also, the fire of God can come into our lives through life events. It could be a trial or a triumph. It could be a certain struggle that we're going through. It might be relational or whatever. But that's one of the ways the fire of the Holy Spirit comes into our life. It can also be in a triumph. You know, sometimes when God is calling us into something new, it requires a step of faith. Maybe it's a spiritual gift. Maybe it's having people over to your home that you've never really gotten to know yet, and you feel kind of anxious about that. Maybe it's going to that Bible study for the first time, and you're not sure how people are going to respond. Those are all ways in which the fire of God can come into our lives and bring us, if you will, into new beginnings. And the Holy Spirit is all about change, all about new beginnings, all about bringing you to places that you're not comfortable with and allowing you to experience that God can bring you through to the other side. That's what faith is all about. This journey with Him is learning how great our God is and how He can do the impossible in our lives. If you're not able to do it, and you feel like God is calling you to do it, I would say that's a good sign that you've heard God's voice. If everything you do in your life is easy and attainable and kind of like going over a little bump or something, a little stop like that, you're probably not listening to God and God calling you out into a place where God has to do something for it to happen, where God has to move in a miraculous way for it to take place. The Bible is full of these stories. Another way in which the fire of God is present in our life is the call to holiness. Actually, I believe that's probably the most important call in this present day. Look around our world in this moment. Look what's going on. Again, our prayer today, what we heard today about coming out from the darkness into the light, is exactly where we're living right now. And the greatest thing I believe that any Christian could do is begin to move out from the darkness into the light and begin to be holy before God. And remember, holiness is simply this: you're set apart to God. You're special to God. And that means something. It means you're different from other people. It means there's certain things that you don't do, even though your friends do it. It means that you also walk in love and reach out to them, maybe in ways that they wouldn't toward you. That's what holiness looks like. These are the prairie fires, if you will, of the human spirit that burn away the old and bring the new. In fact, over the past 24 hours, I've been going through a fire in my own life. It was totally unanticipated. I didn't see it coming. It came after a wonderful day of prayer I had, a beautiful time of silence, and then heaven broke loose. I'll put it that way. And the prairie fire hit. It was some things I wasn't even anticipating in terms of relationships and things that just came out of the blue. But one of the things I realized is, oh yeah, I'm preaching about this weekend. And God said, I'm going to turn up the heat on you a little bit just to give you a little taste of the fire again and what's going on. And you know, I don't know about you, but when fire or struggle or this battle happens in my life, I don't like it. I really don't like it. But one of the things I'm learning is don't fight the fire. Don't fight the struggle. Be open to it. Surrender to it. Allow the Holy Spirit to come and just say, Lord, give me grace through this burning time. Give me grace through this cleansing fire. Give me grace to come before you and allow the Holy Spirit's fire to do the work that you need to do in my life, because God's fire brings us new life. Let me just share one more thing with you. You can either go through the fire now or you can go through it later. It's up to you. But God will bring about a burning away of what God's going to burn away in your life sooner or later. And may God give each of us the grace to welcome it when it comes. 19th century settlers spoke of the violence of prairie fires, their noise, heat, power, and attraction. They are reactions modern-day scientists share. A prairie burning is something like a great thunderstorm, which we're experiencing right now, in which you experience the raw power of nature, comments Stephen Peckard. After you've burned it off, nothing is left. It's so pure. Every leaf that emerges is new, shiny, and wet. Every flower petal is perfect. It reminds you of being young. Beloved of God, that's what the fire of the Holy Spirit can do in your life and in my life. Whatever our age, it can bring us back to moments of new beginnings, to moments of being young and refreshed and new in the Lord. May we be open to the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the new beginnings that God has for each one of us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.